movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another movie show bonus extra. The stuff we just don't have time to fit in on the regular movie show, but it's important enough that we want to make sure that you, our dedicated online listeners, have a chance to hear about, and especially because, you know, we like to promote local stuff. That's one of the great things about the movie show is we're as much about Utah as we are about movies. And sometimes those things come together, and this is one of those times. We're excited here for this particular movie show bonus extra to have Marshall and Michelle Moore of the Zions Indie Film Fest, which is running February 26th through March 2nd down in Orem, Utah. And am I right, guys, is this is going to be at the Cira Center? The entire thing is going to be at the Cira Center?
It will. They've actually been the host venue for the last 23 years. So they've been an amazing partner with the film festival and continue to support us even going from 3 days to 6 days this year.
6 day long film festival. Now, that always sounds good. The longer, the more films you can fit in, the better. And I would assume that, especially for the participants in the entrance, they like having more days to showcase their work.
It certainly opened up opportunity for us to select more films to come in and be presented to an audience. And it's a lot more work also.
Yeah, it was all about the demand for being able to show the amount of submissions that were coming in. We doubled them last year, and then there were more this year, so now more screen time was needed.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So before we go into the actual films, tell me a little bit about, and for people who may be unfamiliar, it's a film festival, yes, but it sounds like it's more than just screening films and having Q&As with the directors. It sounds like it's more than that. So tell us a little bit about what is the Zions Indie Film Fest.
It's an experience.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, yes, films are the main thing, and independent filmmakers who work year-round to create these films, we're going to showcase those. But we're also going to have some special events. We're going to have 2 days of panels, workshops, presentations, and then 3 days of table reads. These are future movies that are going to get workshopped at the festival, where the filmmaker comes in with actors and they read it out loud in front of an audience. And then hopefully that movie gets funded and we're watching it the following year at the festival, or it's out there in distribution somewhere.
Is this the first time you guys are doing the table read feature?
Second year. We started last year with 1 day of table reads, and this year it's 3 days of table reads. So it got very popular, and some of these filmmakers take it to a new level.
They do. It's a very experiential, you know, environment. So they have different lighting, they have different sound, they have some visuals that come up on the screen that's in the Pictures Up room. Then that's where we do the table reads. And you know what's really fun is that last year, one of the table reads that took place at the festival is actually a film in the festival in competition this year.
I was going to ask you, so did that happen then, since we've had 1 year of this already?
It has, and we're way excited to just see, you know, how that will continue to grow year after year, too.
So for people who aren't familiar, a table read is typically when you've got a script written and the actors, they haven't blocked out anything. This is just a chance for them to kind of read and get a feel. You get to hear how the person sounds. And this is their first time I'm sure that they've read the script before, but this is their first time running the lines with the actual in table reads for professionals. It's ones that have shows that are already cast. Is this the cast of the movie that's reading it, or is it just actors who are just reading it aloud?
A little bit of both, I would say.
Yeah, there's going to be some crossover.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to get actors that know how to read the lines and do table reads, but they might not necessarily be in the final version of the movie. But directors, writers, producers, sometimes they have someone specifically in mind for a role, and they'll try to get them there to do the table read. So you'll be surprised who shows up at these table reads. Sometimes very familiar faces and names will participate in these table reads, and audiences can come listen and watch, not only reading words off a page, but experiencing the film almost as if it was a made film. You know, so you get a sense for how the actors would interpret the characters.
And then these will be, it's not like you're going to pick people out of the crowd to cold read it, right?
Right. The director,
okay. Yes. There's a part of me that would be like excited to think,
like, we can
hey,
sign you up,
I
Andy.
Try that. I don't know if I would do any good, but it would be fun to try to picture it. So then do they take feedback from the audience? Like, how does this sound? You know, is it just a chance for people to hear it, or do they take some...
Typically, it depends on
feedback.
Some feedback, and it depends on what the director or the writer is looking for. So sometimes last year they had like a Q&A or like a questions, you know, for the audience for them to answer. That was feedback that they took and rewrote. The other thing is there's a lot of silent feedback that's happening, or not feedback, but there's a lot of, like, you're watching the emotions, like, as you're reading, like, there's audience reaction to certain scenes. Like, they're taking notes, the writers and the director or producer, if they're attached, they're taking notes on how the audience is reacting to the actors reading a certain scene. And so it's valuable information that
so
when
if
they...
So it gets a laugh when they're hoping it'll get a laugh?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Or if it'll it's be dead like, silent.
Or a gasp when something surprising happens.
Right.
Well, exactly. It'd be like, in their head, it worked really well, but then now it's out in the open, and it's like, oh... That didn't really work as well as I thought it was going to do. We're going to need to make a change there. So,
oh,
but that's where it's helpful.
With that. I can, as somebody who says things for other people to listen to, something sounds great in your head and it doesn't necessarily come out the way you thought. Well, that's really cool. So, what is the film from last year that got workshopped that we're going to see this year? We can go over it when we go over films, but I am curious.
Yeah, it's Royal Facade. So, it's a locally directed and produced film that is featured on Thursday night.
Royal Facade. I'm gonna write that down. Okay, so then tell me what makes this different than other film festivals? You know, Utah's famous for Sundance, Slam Dance, and then there's like another one that almost sounds like Slam Dance, but
and Utah actually has a lot of different film festivals, and we certainly are not at the level of Sundance, and right. You know, I don't know any of this, right? And it's not a goal of ours to be that. Our goal, I think, of this festival is to continue to bring audiences together. So you bring the filmmaker audience, the creatives, and the moviegoers, those that are enthusiastic about watching a movie that's uplifting, entertaining, you know, that just kind of invokes all that indie spirit that we really focus on with our festival.
Yeah, our tagline is gather, celebrate, connect. And so Zion, a lot of people, you know, will automatically think of Zion National Park,
right,
or Southern Utah or Red Rock, which is fine. That's all in the state of Utah. But the reason we chose the name Zion has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the word Zion, what it means, and it means gathering place. And so we, you know, we're gathering filmmakers together, people of like minds that love movies, love independent film, want to nurture that part of their creativity, all gathering together, celebrating their work, and then connecting with each other to see what's next. And that even happened at last year's festival, where a filmmaker from Missouri, Dukan Williams, who had a film in last year's festival, has two in this year's festival, partnered with a local actor producer here in Utah, Sean Stevens, and they made a movie together in Southern Utah. And now that's going to be at the festival. So that connect part is so important to further work in the future.
Well, it's interesting too. This is a time where Utah is getting a lot of attention for talent in so many different areas. I was talking with a sibling who lives in Washington State, who was like, yeah, I'm hearing about all this Utah sports talent as it's coming up. Utah has dance talent. Utah has musical talent. It's kind of long been known that the average Utahn is probably better at music or singing, if you just pick it on average, than most other states, just by the nature and the culture here. So I'm curious, we're seeing, they just announced, what is it, yesterday, that Kevin Costner's building a movie studio down in St. George.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a talent base to draw from here in Utah. And this, it's into you guys, it's been 23 years so far. It's interesting to see. You guys maybe saw that before everybody else did.
Well, I think Marshall definitely has a great insight on that, because he was the director of the Utah Film Commission for many years and is up at the studio. So you're very familiar with what's going on in Southern Utah.
But I just mean like this, the Utah. So having a film festival here, do we have a deep pool of talent to draw from?
We always really have. That's why, well, the Sundance Film Festival is here. But the perfect marriage of that, what you just described, was High School Musical. I mean, Kenny Ortega, who, did the opening and closing ceremonies for the Olympics in 2002, got hired to direct this High School Musical. And he said, I want to take it to Utah because of the talent there, the dancing talent, the singing talent. And that's where he wanted to make it. Although the movie was set in New Mexico, all three of them were filmed in Utah because
now,
of that.
Why weren't we able to talk them into setting it in Utah?
Yeah, I wish that was the case. Sometimes you do.
I don't know how that works. I was just...
Yeah, even with incentives now, you know how rebates come along, and the states are now giving rebates to productions. Right. More and more states are starting to get more credit for that, and the credits are moving up because of the amount of money it's going back and forth. But it benefits the locals. It benefits the Utah actors, the Utah crew, the Utah vendors.
Yeah, I just mean like the actual plot set in Utah.
No,
like,
I get that. Okay. But you know, the reality is we want the money too. We want the jobs. But all the time, every single film can't be set in Utah. But we push for it.
Okay.
But a lot of times it doesn't lend itself to just being Utah. It has to be somewhere else. And then we stand in for another city, another town, another country.
Yes. I know that we typically seem to be Los Angeles from 20 years before whenever it's being shot.
Well, Sandlot is a perfect example. Sandlot was the San Fernando Valley, but it was the Salt Lake Valley.
I remember one of the first movies I ever recognized Utah, and I may have told you this before, but it was called Enter the Ninja 2. And it was filmed here in like 1983.
My friend Sam Furstenberg, Schmulik is his nickname, directed that. And I worked on a movie with him called Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Was that filmed in Utah?
No, that was in Los Angeles.
I do remember Breaking 2. That's famous.
Yes. But Sam Furstenberg, he and I are still in touch. And he messaged me just the other day because he was at a film festival in Texas. And he says, I remember filming in Utah, Ninja 2. So he referenced it. That's funny
to
remember.
Tell him that there's at least one person in Utah who remembers it well. What made me laugh, too, was at the end of the movie, there's a fight on top of what's the American Towers in downtown. And it finishes with a helicopter circling, zooming shot as it pulls out. There's the Salt Palace and the Salt Lake Temple.
That's the other great thing about film.
I thought that was the funniest. Like, this is Los Angeles. But that, even as a kid, I was like, hey, wait a second.
Yeah.
I recognize those things. But the Liberty Park gym fight scene, loved that.
Well, there you go. See?
That apparatus no longer exists. It was the greatest park gym apparatus that's ever existed. And they had a ninja fight on it.
Well, there you go.
See, that's what I said. This is 40 years later.
Film can do
that.
Well, look, with 200, and we are going to honor Touched by an Angel, the television series, as part of the 100 years of film. That will be at the festival on the 29th, open to the public. Martha Williamson, the head writer and executive producer, will make an appearance and do a Q&A along with Jim Dark, the author of When Hollywood Came to Utah. So we're going to do a whole night built around 100 years of film in Utah. But I was the location manager on Touched by an Angel, and we shot about 211 episodes in Utah. About maybe 10 or 15 of those actually were Utah in the show, because each episode was set in a different city or town
where the angels would go help
somebody. But occasionally, Martha would write one that was Utah, you know, Salt Lake City.
I love it.
So,
well, let's tell me a little bit then about how you guys go about picking the films that get featured. Because I noticed you guys, these are the different categories as I was looking on the website, which is ZionsIndieFilmFest.com, INDIE, by the way, in case you want to make sure you spell that right. You've got feature films, documentary feature films, short films, documentary short films, music videos. Now, that was one that I thought was kind of a cool category. And then short screenplay, I'm assuming is that going to be kind of what the table reads are about, or is that where the table reads are going to draw from, is the short screenplay?
So they're actually two different categories. So the table reads are just different filmmakers that had reached out to us and submitted a feature film, basically, for us to consider for the table reads. The short screen competition was just a script or a screenplay that was 35 pages or less. And so we had that was the first year that we had introduced that category. And it is actually the only category that does receive a cash prize. And we've done this. Yeah, all the others receive a beautiful trophy and recognition. And this category does get a cash prize in memory of a dear friend of ours that had passed away of cancer 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was a screenwriter, actor, and his name is Josh French. And we made the scholarship in his honor because he had numerous films in the film festival in previous years. And he passed away 2 years ago during the festival. I remember that was very, very difficult. We thought, what can we do to honor him? And this short screenplay competition will honor him and give cash money to the first, second, and third place. Yeah.
And what was his name again?
Joshua Michael French is his full name, Josh French.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat.
It's just one other thing that we do to kind of bring that community together, like just uniting the community that way.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to bring this up later, but this gives me a natural segue into bringing it up now because I was talking with Steve, and we here on the movie show think that it would be really awesome if you honored Doug Wright at some point.
Oh, that's coming.
It's coming.
Okay. We just wanted, because we think that, first of all, it would mean a lot to us, and we really think it would mean a lot to him, too. And he would never ask for that himself. So we're going to just shamelessly do it for him.
We are well aware of Doug's support of local film. He's been a dear friend of ours for many, many years. Yeah,
there's a whole, you know, we have the Lifetime Achievement Award at the at the festival every year. So that could be coming
2025. That sounds like a cool thing is what I think. But all right. Well, that's good.
We'll give you guys all the credit, though.
No. But I appreciate that. And I think that's really neat. And I know Steve will be pleased with that. So let's take a break really quick here on this movie show bonus extra. When we get back, we'd like to start going over what are some of the entries and things that we can look forward to and maybe some of the ones that you guys are most excited about on this movie show bonus extra, talking about the Zion's Indie Film Fest.
It's the world famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's the movie show bonus extra where we find the things that we just don't have time for on the over-the-air movie show. But we know we have a great listenership here on the podcast version, and so we want to give you reward you with extras. And also, we welcome you if you only generally listen to the movie show over the air. Welcome to the digital stream. So we're talking the Zion's Indie Film Fest with Marshall and Michelle Moore, who are the directors of the festival. 24th year this year, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Or this is the 23rd. This is the
23rd. Just to be clear, we didn't start it. We bought it 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And Christian Vuisa started it. Kels Goodman carried on the tradition, and then we took it over from Kels 3 years ago.
I mean, think about this. We've had 100 years of filmmaking in Utah. Zion's Indie Film Fest has been part of a fourth of it.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way. We should do some social media on that, huh?
You can take all the credit yourself. Well, so let's talk about some of the different films. What are the ones? I mean, there's a lot of films, and so maybe the most completely dedicated fan could hit all of them. But what are some of the films that you're most excited about? And I'm just counting in the feature films. Looks like some of the neighborhood of 20. Am I wrong?
You're right on at 20.
Okay.
So we have 20. We do have one film that's playing twice because it sold out so quickly of our opening night. So The Faith of Angels.
Ooh, I was going to ask you about that one.
Oh, it's one that you and Steve need to come and see in person.
Oh, really?
On the big screen, yes. And, you know, you mentioned that there is a lot for people that they can do the entire week. And so we do have a ticket that is the All Fest Pass ticket, and it does include every screening, every table read, every panel that you want to go to, and it's 60 hours of programming, and it's just $150 for the whole
And the
whole
only
week.
Reason you couldn't see every single film is because some are playing simultaneously.
That's what I was
on two different screens. Yeah.
Well, but you've also got feature films, you've got short films, and so.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the fun of the festival is like, okay, well, what speaks to me? Like, which of these do I think I'm going to connect with? And now I've only been able to look at titles. I wasn't able to dig
read
up
the much. Descriptions. Yeah.
Yeah, but the ones that jump out to me for titles, well, now I really want to see Royal Facade because I need to know what was read last year and see how it turned out. But let's see. Faith of Angels did jump out to me. I want to say More Than Fry Bread because I am a big fan of making Utah scones, which is basically just fry bread. So I don't know what that's
about.
It's a
comedy.
But I feel like I need to see it.
You do need to see it.
It was made by Arizona filmmaker Travis, or Holt Hamilton is what he goes by. I know him by Travis because
I
actually worked with him.
He did the documentary about, in fact, that's on your guys' list.
That's going to be in,
Break the Mold, the Zach Bates story, which Steve and I have already seen and we thought was excellent. We wished it was playing on more screens because more people wanted to see it than had time to go get there.
Well, we have it.
Tell them to come to the festival because it is playing, and Break the Mold is one of my favorite films in the documentary.
It will make you cry.
It was the first one that made me cry when we were doing our screeners. Like, you always wait for that moment when you're screening films where you get emotional, whether you laugh or cry or, you know, feel uplifted. This one was the first one where I actually had tears coming out of my eyes.
Yeah, no, it's, I'm just going to say this. You got to be have a heart of stone if it doesn't move you emotionally just watching it. Right. It was that well. So I'm really excited that more people are going to get to see that. Anyway, for the feature films, I also Chicken Coop. That's got to be a comedy. Please tell me that's a comedy.
Ooh. I wish it was a comedy, although I did laugh while watching it. Oh. The tone is not comedic.
Oh.
It's about a father-son relationship towards the end of the father's life.
Oh. But it is beautifully well done. Mm-hmm. Monica Moore Smith, who's a local actress, she's done a lot of great things. She's featured. She plays the wife in this movie. And you'll cry on this one also. It's, okay. It's very emotional.
And you'll
emotional.
Know why it's titled Chicken Coop when you watch it. But just remember the dinner scene. The dinner table scene is the one where I'm like, whoa, this is really good. You know, like it's going along, and then all of a sudden, the dinner table scene. So
okay,
it's worth seeing for that alone.
There's What I Should Have Said, which feels like it could be dramatic or comedic.
And again, it is. There's laugh out loud moments. There's some heartfelt coming of age, kind of identifying, you know, your worth in a relationship. And that comes forward. Yeah.
A relationship.
Yep. All there's right. relationship in that.
And then Wisteria is in all caps.
Oh, my goodness. Wisteria is shot in France, right? Yep. Yeah. So, but with local actors from Utah, really? Jason Wade.
Yeah. Just Michael, saw him Michael in Flynn. Something.
Jason in, Wade in was just Inheritance to Love.
Yeah. Inheritance to Love.
But
was that one at the festival last year? Because that felt
Jenny was
when
there.
I was watching it. It felt local, like, and I wondered if it was one that had come through.
It was
a local
not
film
at the festival, but Jenny James was there talking about it.
Yeah,
she was the writer.
She's the writer for that.
The writer. Yeah. Okay.
And then that
Villains
film
Incorporated. That's one that.
And those are your JK
guy.
Studio guys.
Oh,
so JK yay. Studios. It is hilarious. And
okay.
I'm gonna say his name wrong. You're gonna have to help me. Colin Mockery.
No, you got it right.
From
you got it right.
From the Whose Line Is It?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it. He stars in that with those guys.
I really liked Go West last year. I actually put that in one of my five favorite comedies of the year of
Fantastic.
All the movies that I saw because I just thought it was funny.
Well, then you'll love this.
Oh, no, I'm excited. I'm very excited. I didn't know they had another one in the works.
Yeah,
so.
No, we loved Go West. And it's still, so Go West is still streaming on Living Scriptures right now. So you can watch that there. But it also has the same cast that's, you know, that
oh, yeah.
from JK into Villains. There's, I'm also trying to think. So Cabrini, that's another one that is the big next movie from Angel Studios. And that's playing on Tuesday night.
They're one of our sponsors. And we were fortunate to get Cabrini before it opens. Yes.
Same writer from
Sound of Freedom.
Oh, I did. Actually, I think I saw that on the website. It wasn't in the list of feature films. At least it's not on the website right now as one of the feature films. But unless it's a...
And that, I know where you're looking now. Those are... Cabrini is a special screening. It's not in competition.
Oh, I see.
So that's... Yep.
Okay.
But it's really worth seeing. We watched it the other night, and that's a must-go-to.
What's it about? Can you tell us?
Well, yeah. It's
okay,
about,
well, I don't know. I mean, spoilers.
I mean, yeah. So it's about basically the patron saint of orphans in New York City, who she was a nun in Italy, and she went to the Pope and said, there's a need to organize. All these orphans are living on the street. There's a need within our church to have something to get those orphans off the street. And the movie is about her battle and struggle to get that to happen, to get the church, the Catholic Church, to endorse her actions to create an orphanage for these kids who are just living on the streets without parents in New York City.
Is this a dramatization or a
documentary? True story. No, it's true. It's a drama. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a scripted, drama with actors.
But it's amazing to be able to have it at our festival.
John Lithgow's in it.
Oh.
Yeah, he has a cameo. Yeah, I think he appears in a couple
of
scenes.
Is this the world premiere?
It's not the world premiere. They're having us treat it like a premiere at the festival, but it opens March 8th worldwide on how many screens? 2,000?
Probably 2,000 plus. It's, yeah. You know, they're going to be doing the same model as Sound of Freedom as far as national reach. It's a beautiful film, inspiring film, well done. Story's great. So that's another one that we're really excited to be able to showcase at our festival.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the documentary feature films. That's a little bit of a smaller category. Bobby Basketball. I got to know
that,
what that's about.
About a basketball coach,
well,
I've
got that.
Here. Leighton Christian, basketball coach.
Okay, so it's a coach. Okay.
It's a documentary. Yep, he's retired now, but it basically chronicles his final season coaching after 20-something years in the state of Utah.
Okay, and then I saw Emmett Till, White Lies, Black Death. Now, I thought Till was criminally underrepresented at the Oscars last year, personally. This is a documentary?
Loki Mulholland, yeah, who's had a number of documentaries in the festival in the past, and he's coming out. His mom is Joan Trumpauer Mulholland, who's famous for the lunch counter.
Sit-in.
Oh, okay.
In the 1960s. Where, you know, the milkshakes were poured on people. Yeah, so she was one of them.
Okay.
And so that's his mom. So he's taken up documentary filmmaking from the civil rights era.
I think film festivals are a great place because not a lot of documentaries get into theaters that regularly. And seeing a documentary on the big screen often adds a power. I mean, well, it's the movie experience. I mean, there's a reason that it was the big screen that movies went to the big screen in the first place. Why it was an improvement over the stage was your ability to see people in an up-close way that you couldn't do in a crowd. And so seeing some of these things put up onto the big screen, I was talking with a couple of people who are longtime Sundance fans, and one of their favorite parts of Sundance is seeing documentaries that don't always make it into theaters.
Well, festivals may be the only time a filmmaker sees their film on a big screen.
Yeah.
It may be the only, because after that it may just end up in streaming, you know, or DVD or whatever's happening at the time. So the festivals are a great chance for them to see it on the big screen, and none is bigger than the Clark Grand Theater at the Cira Center. There is a 700-seat theater, which is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in
the
state of
Utah. I'm wondering
if
it is because they don't have the recliner chairs. And so it's the, you know,
old
it's
school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you can cram a lot of people in there. So
but it also feels like going to an old school kind of movie.
Deco style.
It's deco style.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous. Really, yeah, if you've not been to the Cira Center for any movie screenings, like it's beautiful.
Now, what is We Rise?
You know, this one is from a filmmaker out of L.A., and it is just a beautiful story of, you know, coming together and finding the different commonalities that we have in our relationships with each other. And
that's an important thing to hear
these days. Palo
Alto,
I believe, California. Yeah, so we're excited to have them here. It basically stars a bunch of teenage kids doing scenarios, documentary style.
Now, the short films is a lot longer of a list. So is there any that I realize that you're not going to play favorites.
It's like asking
because
us to
like
pick
parents,
our favorite child,
that's
right?
That's why we have judges. We fortunately do not have to judge the films. We have a whole team to do that.
But what are some that you have that you say, boy, I just know, without any disrespect to any that you don't mention, but what are some ones that you're just like, oh, I bet people are really going to like fill in the blank?
So one of the questions we get asked a lot is, do you have a film that we could bring our young children to? Is there a fun, you know, is there a fun film like that? So I can answer your question that way and say that we have one called Fairy Tale Club. And it's by Cooper Home Entertainment. They're a local production company that's just doing amazing things. And it is a fun story of taking the fantasy world of Little Red Riding Hood and bring her into the modern world. And there's this underground fairy tale club. So it's dramatized, but it is really fun for all the kids.
There's a Halloweenish one starring Adam Johnson called Ghost in the Road.
Okay.
So that one is kind of interesting. And then there's one of my personal favorites, one of the most unique films we have in the festival this year, an animated called Nubbinwood. You've got to see that one. Yes.
Animated.
It's like about a beaver trying to get a job in the film industry.
Okay. As an actor?
Yeah, as an actor.
You should have gone for set builder.
Then as a crew person, then as his journey about trying to get into the film industry.
What kind of animation is it? Is it hand-drawn? Is it?
Yeah, it seems to be. Okay. Yeah, I would say it's hand-drawn. Yep.
Another one I would say is I Choose You. And this was, we have a daughter that is deaf and has cochlear. So this is a story about a couple. One is deaf, one is hearing, and just how they come together in different relationships with family, with friends, and just I Choose You.
Now, are short films shown in blocks, or are they shown individually? So when you need to look for, if you're looking for these titles, you need to look for the block that they're playing in.
Right. And if you go to our website and under tickets, you could choose which day you want to come, and it will outline which feature films and which blocks are being shown
in
that category.
And each block has a name.
Okay.
Yeah, it has a number, but it also has a name to kind of give it a theme.
So the one question I have is, when we talk about short film versus feature length film, what is the cutoff runtime to what would classify to one or the other?
45 minutes.
Okay, so if it's under 45 minutes, it's considered a short film.
Yes.
And if it's over 45 minutes, okay.
And I would say the average is in the 17 to like 24 is probably where most of those categories fall.
Okay.
Or the time on those films. We have a few that are like 3 minutes and 7 minutes. The two that we have, we actually have one from Angie Dennison here from KSL, the Sean Bradley story that's playing.
I did see that one.
Yeah.
That one has got to be pretty good. That would carry a lot of local interest. That was such a surprise and tragedy when it's still so weird to see him in a wheelchair.
Right.
What about music videos? Now, that's something I hadn't heard of at a festival. So tell me just a little bit about that.
These are all
original songs, right?
Yeah. We carried on that tradition from the previous owners. It's on opening night as well, so it goes, we have opening night, then in Show House 2, we do the entire run of music videos in one sitting, and then do the Q&As with the video makers, the singers, the directors.
And they're really judged on the video making of that video, not necessarily their artistic talent and their voice and their vocals, but are you telling a story through your music video that highlights your song?
And creativity and cinematography and editing, all that plays into what rises to the top.
Well, I mean, anybody my generation who grew up knew that there's a heck of a lot of stories. Sometimes to the point where you forget what the song's about because you're wrapped up in the, and then you, or you, you listen to the song, then you watch the video and you're like, okay. But the great storytelling goes on in it. I know this was one. One of the complaints that I hear a lot from people is that they feel like there's not enough positive and uplifting entertainment coming to theaters in a lot of ways. And I know in past Zion's Indie Film Festivals, there have been a lot of faith-based works. Is that the case this year, too? You talked about Cabrini. That's obviously one. But what are some of the other ones that people who are looking for some faith-based movies or shorts to watch?
The opening night film, The Faith of Angels, could consider that faith-based, and that's why we had to add a second screen. It was so popular that now we're doing two screenings. We've never done this before. So we have the opening night, which is totally sold out, but then we're going to do a second screening at 9:15 in another theater there after the music videos, because there's just such a demand for it. So you are absolutely right that people want to see that type of content. Of course, it's based on a true story that took place in Utah in 1989.
I personally think that faith-based stories that are based on true stories, to me, have always had a greater impact, just because, if you're scripting it all out, you can make whatever happen whatever way you want it to happen. But when it really happened and you're just saying, look, this is what happened, that's what has really always gotten to me emotionally from whatever faith tradition, whatever, when it happened to somebody, like, I don't know, it just carries a greater emotional connection for me. And maybe when I was younger, it didn't make as big a distinction. But as I've gotten older and as I understand how writing works and how different things, I love that they say, look, you couldn't make this up because nobody would believe it. And that to me is, I enjoy those kinds of movies. So I'm glad to know that there's a place for that and that there's some options to go to.
Well, the thing is, even though the festival has expanded and we're getting submissions from all over the world, we still have our core values as a festival. There are, missionary short films, and Los Hermanos is one. And then we have another one, another missionary-based film. So those are still coming in, too, in addition to the ones that maybe are from other faiths that are faith-based. So it's not only what it used to be. It now is expanded and includes everything that could be considered uplifting.
Well, that's excellent. That makes me happy. I hope that gets more people wanting to get a chance to see that. I mean, first of all, you got 6 days, so you got plenty of opportunities. If one day you're busy, you've got a whole bunch of other options.
There's a lot you can choose from.
It's jam-packed, and a lot of people just like to hang out in the lobby you know, and talk with each other.
Festival surfers is what we like to call them.
Yeah, and then that's where a lot of the deals take place. You know, a lot of things happen where they make plans for the future. You know, so-and-so hasn't met so-and-so before, like a producer, a writer, a director. They get together and they say, oh, let's do this together and have it ready for next year's festival. That happens a lot.
You've talked about how it's grown. How do you see it continuing to grow? What do you see for future film festivals?
Well,
we ought to get through this one first, but just where do you see it trending?
Well, I think to kind of just play off what Marshall just shared is that as festival owners and as co-directors, we want to put people in those rooms so that collaboration can happen. So we talked a little bit about the Faith of Angels. We have two big name actors that are in the faith industry. So John Michael Finley, who was in I Can Only Imagine, he's the lead actor there. He plays the lead actor in The Faith of Angels, and he'll be in Utah during the whole festival. And
we're going to put him to work.
He's
going to sing. He's going to be on some panels, table reads.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we have Cameron Arnett, who was in the new movie coming out from the Kendrick Brothers called Forge. He was an Overcomer, and he stars also in The Faith of Angels. So to answer your question, Andy, we're doing our best to bring new people to our festival so that our local amazing crew and creatives can collaborate with them and work on new projects that will just continue to filter through different film festivals, ours and, you know, others throughout the United States.
Well, it's the Zions Indie Film Festival. It runs February 26th through March 2nd. Just a reminder, takes place in Orem. You can get tickets through the website Zions Indie Film Fest, INDIE filmfest.com. And it's as easy as that, right? Just get tickets through the website.
Absolutely.
Can you walk up and buy tickets if
you can at the box office? Yep.
Okay.
So you can buy individual tickets. You can buy day passes. You can buy all fest passes. You can show up and go to the free events.
What if an aspiring filmmaker wanted to one day be part of this? I mean, obviously, it's too late for this year. But
that's one of the things we want to do is Marshall was actually just a couple of days ago down at BYU talking to a group of film students down there. So we have a big educational component to our festival where if you are an aspiring filmmaker, if you're an aspiring actor or actress, if you're an aspiring, you know, grip and electric, like this is the place to come and be educated by some of the top leaders in our industry on how to get started in the different realm that you want to be in.
Yeah, because as you know, it's really who you know when it comes to film.
So true.
Right? You can be so good at something, but if you don't know anybody, you're just going to stay in the silo. You have to get out of that silo and start talking to people who can help you further what you want to do, because it's all about helping each other.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. We were talking with like one of the guys who was an animator of Moses in Prince of Egypt. And his break came about in part because he had a side job as a pest control guy, and he went to drop off his demo work in his pest control outfit, and they remembered the pest control outfit. And, you know, there was hundreds and hundreds, because this was a brand new startup, DreamWorks. This was before they were DreamWorks. They were getting ready to launch their first movie. And, you know, he obviously had to have the talent to keep it. But they said later, like, oh, you were the guy with the pest control. Yeah, I remembered that. And I was like, who's the guy that brought in the pest control? Let me see his portfolio. And it's things like that, but they don't happen unless you're in a place where they can happen.
Well, you're right. One of the filmmakers from last year, they called him the hat guy because he wore all our different festival hats. Dukon, I mentioned him earlier. He's coming back, but he got a nickname just because he was around and he was wearing a different film festival hat every day.
I think he came and visited us at the movie show once.
Did he? Is that him? Did he come?
I feel like one of the times.
Yeah.
At one of our remotes.
He made a really great short film last year, and this year he has a feature called Vincent's Vow.
Vincent's, and this is in the festival.
Yeah, it's one of the features.
Well, yeah. I'm excited for you guys, and you guys have already got your judges all set, yes?
We do, yeah. And it's fun to see how they're scoring them, right? Because we watch everything, and we're subjective on what we like the most as well. But we don't have any say on the final votes. But it is fun to see.
And we get surprised quite a bit by our judges. Like, we'll think, oh, yeah. And then it'll be like, oh, wow. You know, They thought this was better than that, which we thought was better than this. So that's why we have different opinions. And that's why there's multiple judges in each category to make sure we get it right.
And what night is awards night?
Saturday night.
March 2nd.
Saturday the 2nd. Okay.
And we have some fun treats there too. We have some live performances, hilarious MC for us that night. And it's a gala. So it's a dress up, come, you know, feel fancy.
A Lifetime Achievement Award will be given that night.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds really neat. You know, it's not often you get to, especially before the Oscars, you kind of get your own little sort of miniature version of the Oscars going on. Awards night for films, and you can show up dressed to the nines, and who knows? You may get connected with somebody who makes a difference in where your hopes and dreams go.
That's our goal.
And one of the other things we did this year, food trucks. We should bring that up, really, because everybody was like, where's the food?
He's ready for lunch, I think.
No, but I think it's a good thing because people were saying last year they had to leave the venue to go get food and then come back, and they didn't have a parking place because it was so crowded. So we're bringing food to them this year. So there will be a couple of food trucks on a number of different days, and then we'll have a little music cafe as well, with acoustic music playing in the lobby.
The only thing that could be better is if you guys got 60-degree temperatures.
Wouldn't that be lovely?
Wouldn't that?
That's possible. Things are looking.
It's not impossible. Well, Marshall and Michelle Moore, Zion's Indie Film Fest, thank you for coming on to this movie show bonus extra episode. I'm glad we got a chance to kind of flesh it out and give people a better idea of what's going on down in Orem for that last week of February and at the beginning of March. And, you know, even if it isn't good weather, at least it's indoors and you can enjoy some brand new films, faith building or enjoyable or comedy or drama, emotion. This is why we go to the movies, right? To feel all those things, to let people tell their stories and for us to be immersed in their stories. And I've already seen one of them and I can highly recommend it. You know, the Zach Bates story.
Break the mold.
If you get a chance, 40 minutes late. I think it's just barely over feature.
We're trying to get him here.
56 minutes.
Yes.
We're trying to get Zach Bates here.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Haven't closed the deal yet, but we made the push.
Filmmaker will be here. So
yes.
Great Q&A afterwards. Here. Yep.
Yes, and actually, my coworker on TV, Dan Spindle, knew him from down in Arizona, so he was really excited to see. And then he has one called something about water, the one that's about the Native Americans and water. He had another film that he was working on. I don't know if that one's finished, but I was looking for that one in theaters too. So exciting, up and coming, and trust me, if you're somebody who was like me a few years ago when – you're like, if it's not somebody I've heard of, like, I get it. But give these things a chance because they're every bit as moving as anything that can come out of the quote unquote big dollar productions.
Well, it's sometimes the first time you'll ever see one of these films. A lot of premieres there, and sometimes those films rise to the top. Look at what Napoleon Dynamite did at Sundance. So I'm not saying that happens here, but it can, because it's the first time that these very independent filmmakers are showing their film, and something might catch fire, you know?
Well, and if you've ever created something, it doesn't have to be a film. If you've ever created something, you realize what you put into it personally, and it's a chance to celebrate other creators. Even if maybe you're not a movie maker, but you like to create music, well, maybe come see what the energy in their heart and soul they pour into telling you that story. I know I'm like a Salieri and Amadeus, okay? I don't have the talent like Mozart did, but I certainly have been given the talent to appreciate what others can do and to, you know, to laud them for what they can do and wonder like, look, I wish I could do that, but I can certainly appreciate the talent that you have. And so that's a good thing to do when it comes to movies and enjoying something like the Zion's Indie Film Fest.
It's for everybody. It really is.
Well, thank you for being here. We're looking forward to talking to you guys as maybe we'll do another one when we wrap up so we can hear about the award winners. We'll add an addendum. That's the nice thing about the digital realm. We can always add a little bit later to the end of the episode once the award winners have been announced and we can have a little Zion's Indie wrap up.
Well, Andy, thank you for giving us this time and sharing your time with us today. We love the movie show and hopefully you'll make it to a few of the films.
We'll have a bucket of popcorn for you and Steve.
How's yes. That? I know Steve will be happy to hear
extra
that.
Extra butter, well. Steve. There we go.
Hey, I'm a butter guy.
You're a butter guy too.
Don't short me on the butter either. Well, thank you, Marshall and Michelle, and good luck to you in the Zion's Indie Film Fest 2024.
Thank you.
Thank you.